Hey guys, this is Safa and Tavares. Welcome back to the Godly Dating Podcast.
It really sounds like you're reading that.
Really?
It does.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to tell if she sounds like
I'm
a weather girl.
I'm not reading anything.
What's going on?
That's just how I talk.
How y'all doing? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
For whenever you get a chance to listen. Thank you guys for tuning back into another episode. If you're new, please consider subscribing, checking it out, sharing it with a friend. Hopefully it blesses you. If you're
and
on Apple,
don't sound like you read it.
Man, you a hater. hopefully someone is encouraged by this. I think this is a topic that both of us could relate to. I think a lot of topics I can relate or Safa can, but it's not really both of us. But I feel like this is definitely one because I feel like this is a huge issue in church.
Absolutely.
In general.
Tonight we'll be talking about, or today, depending on when you're listening to this.
You sound like you're about
common
to preach.
Common misconceptions Christians have about sex.
Man, you keep on with these awkward pauses.
No, because you press a button. And so I was just like, maybe, I don't know if you're pausing it. My bad.
I'm not editing.
Anyways,
that out.
I'm not used to, you know.
Anyways, God bless her.
I feel like this is something that there's definitely a lot of misconceptions about this, especially because it's not talked about in church often. I don't know why. I don't know why, you know, I feel as though churches are afraid to talk about it. But even growing up in my church, they never mentioned it. All we heard was sex is a sin. Sex is wrong. Sex is wrong. And if you have sex outside of marriage, you're going to hell. So, you know, I think there are so many misconceptions because people weren't taught about it the right way.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, we're not on here to one, bash where we grew up, and two, we're not on here to justify anybody
right.
in sin, you know? So I think we want to approach this topic because I feel as though a lot of people, they just have the wrong idea, like a few wrong ideas about sex. Mm-hmm. But the first one we want to talk about is the fact that, like Safa just mentioned, sex is a sin. I know none of you may say that, but there's been a lot of people I've come in contact with or I've thought to myself, you know, it just feels like sex is something that's wrong. You know what I mean? When you had, you know, churches that had a lot of rules or strict and all they said was, you know, the thou shalt not commit fornication and right. thou shalt not commit adultery and don't be alone. It'll lead to sex or don't hang out at a movie theater because it might look like you're doing something. And don't, you know what I mean? You heard all of the don'ts, but all that did was make you get a negative idea of sex. Right. You know what I mean? Or you looked at it in a way that wasn't healthy or whatever, you know? So, you know, and I'm not saying things that they said weren't true. You know what I mean? I'm not saying when they mentioned things like, oh, don't do this because it could lead to sex. I'm not saying those things are wrong. I believe that it's right that they taught us about. I believe that it was right that they were trying to tell us to keep boundaries. Right. But the issue was they made sex seem like if you have sex, God is sending you to hell. Because sex felt good. You know right. what I mean? I feel like that was the issue that I was having growing up in
right.
church.
I agree. I could testify to that as well. And like Tavar said, we're not bashing any churches. I feel like the church that I grew up in was absolutely amazing. But of course, you know, just like parents, they're not going to always say things right or do things right. So there are things that, you know, are going to be, you know, left out or things they could have done better. So growing up, like Tavar said, you know, I heard, you know, sex is a sin. They never mentioned sex except for in that light. So getting married, I think I struggled with that a lot. You know, thinking in my mind that this is okay. You know, I'm married now. There's nothing wrong with having sex. And, you know, it's something that I feel as though I struggled with because I was never taught properly about sex, not by my parents. God, I love them. I love them. Or not by church either. There's a book out there. I forget the name of it.
What's that?
We have the book.
There's someone by Mo Isom Aiken.
Mm-hmm. You remember the name of the book?
I don't know the name of the book by heart. I actually gave one away to one of our Patreon members in a giveaway. It's called Sex, Jesus, and the Conversations that the Church Forgot.
Yes.
If that's not the exact words verbatim, her name is Mo Aiken. And you could just
Great
shoot me
book.
A message and I'll direct you to an Amazon link if you're confused. Oh, sorry. I didn't know if I was going to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
But I think that's a great book. I think that's definitely another one that opened my eyes to a lot because I really just thought it was my culture because we grew up in Jamaican old school type churches. But this is coming from a white woman maybe Mo is probably 30 now, but, you know, in a complete different culture. And that just showed me churches were not handling these conversations anywhere. You know what I mean? And a lot of times, you know, people are like, man, Golly Dayton is such a huge page. And it's like, oh, you're famous. And I'm like, no, I don't view it that way. What I really see is a lot of people with a lot of questions. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? People that really, like, my church is not talking about this. Clearly, you're talking about it. I may not like Tavares' approach, but you made me read the Bible, you know, because I know a lot of times I'm not the easiest to deal with. But I feel as though it's necessary to have these types of conversations because sex was never meant to be viewed as dirty. In my opinion, sex should have been viewed as pleasurable, you know, as a blessing, you know, for the married, you know, and I believe that's what the enemy did with Eve in the garden, you know, try to make you look at something you shouldn't be touching and make it look like something you should desire, you know, so he twists our desires and tries to get mankind to determine what is good. Mm-hmm. You know, God says, don't eat from the tree of good and, you know, knowledge of good and evil, you know, because God is showing us that we cannot determine what's good and we can determine what's evil. As you can see in our world today, whether you're in America or not, the world is trying to show there really is like they're going against God's design with sex, with relationships, with our character, with all of these things. Because we cannot determine what is good. We're always going to do what we want. But sex shouldn't be viewed as dirty because when you look at Hebrews 13:4, it says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. So that verse shows us that, yeah, the people that are in sin, God is going to judge them. God is going to correct that. But it's not the sex that was the problem. It's the when they did it outside of the marriage bed.
Right.
God doesn't have a problem with sex in the marriage bed. That's how he designed it. It should be a gift. If sex wasn't a gift for you, God would not have made it feel good. You know what I mean? So that's the reason why I want us to understand that you cannot look at it, you know, feeling as though sex is the sin. We have to view God for who he really is, as a holy God, not as a person trying to stop us from, you know, getting pleasure, but he's trying to stop you from doing things out of his context because it never leads to true fulfillment or true joy, I should say. You know, so fornication and adultery, those are the sins. But when you do it the way that God intends, it's a holy thing. It's a beautiful thing. You know, God is pleased with that. You know, so I believe that we can honor God with sex. And I know that sounds extremely weird. You know what I mean? God is not some creepy old guy, you know, oh, my kids are having sex. No, but when we look at marriage, we have to look at the way Christ and the church, that's the most intimate form. You know what I mean? So while you're thinking, oh man, I just connected with my husband, I just connected with my wife, and you're thinking about how pleasurable that was, that is how God connects with the church in an intimate manner. He wants to know us on a deep level. I know I just made it mad cringeworthy. You know?
No, I agree. I was just thinking about everything you were saying, and I agree. Even though people don't look at it that way, sex is made to glorify God.
Yeah,
it's made, just like you said, to represent like the way Christ loves the church or his intimacy with us.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just such a, I don't want to say a taboo topic or like it's just something that I feel like it needs to be.
It's still weird.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I get it.
It is. Even for me, being married 4 years, like, it's not an easy subject for me to talk about because my whole life, I was basically taught, you know, stay away from sex, stay away from sex, stay away from sex. And then, boom, I get married. And I'm supposed to talk about it. I'm supposed to, you know. So I think it's just something that we need to do better as a church. And as just Christians, if you know, you know, if you have children or if you know younger people or you're like a youth leader, of course, you know, speaking to their parents and making sure it's okay to have that conversation with them. But we need to do a better job at discussing that and making sure that it's not looked at as something that is wrong because it's beautiful. But in the context of marriage and in the context of how God designed it to be.
And that's definitely true because a lot of people, they'll tell you, oh, you know what I mean? Like, stay away from boys and stay away from girls. And you hear that the entire time you're growing up through the youth group and, you know, don't do this, don't do that. You know, when you hit early 20s and now when you're 25, everybody's saying, where's your spouse?
Right.
It's like they expect you to flip a switch when you literally view the opposite sex as though I'm just going to be in sin. If I tell a girl good morning, I'm thinking about sex. You know what I mean? It just made you so awkward. You know what I mean? So I think we just have to do a better job of, you know, handling that subject. And another misconception I believe that people have is that you have to be sure the sex is good before you commit to them in marriage. And I think that's such a dangerous thing, you know, because you listening right now, you may be thinking, man, I'm not having sex before marriage. I stopped that. You know, I'm living a celibate life, or I'm living an abstinent life. But there are a lot of people that follow us doing a lot of things. You know what I mean? And it's not a matter of judgment. I didn't live a pure life after creating this godly dating page. I struggled more after creating this page, after telling people about living pure, after telling people, you know, to live a life of repentance. So I'm not saying I got it figured out. You don't. You need to fix it. You know what I mean? But I think it's a problem when we get that idea like, man, well, I just got to be sure it's going to be right. You know what right. I mean? Like, I'm with them for the rest of my life. And I really think that's a dangerous game. I don't think you have to do that. You know, and to me, it's just a lie from the enemy, you know, trying to deceive people, trying to get people to compromise, you know, to give up their walk with God, to give up, you know, that intimacy they have with God, or to give up on their purpose and their passions, right. You know, to entertain things that are temporary.
Right. Agreed. As you say that, I think about even the garden and how the serpent came to her. And of course, she knew she wasn't supposed to eat of the fruit. Just like we all know, you're not supposed to have sex before marriage. But then, you know, you have, you know, a voice in your mind saying, well, how do you know? You know, and yeah. It's just one of those things. I feel mm-hmm. like it's just playing that game. Don't eat of that fruit. You know you're not supposed to do it, but you still do. And that's, like Tavares said, a dangerous place to be in. So, I mean, and I think that another reason why this is dangerous is because when you get married, if you've already had sex before marriage, and if you've had sex before marriage and, you know, you're living celibate. It is what it is. You know, no judgment.
If you repented, but God is able to forgive.
Yes. Amen to that. Amen to that. And if you have gone there, what happens is when you're married, sometimes you can find yourself comparing your spouse to you know, previous relationships mm-hmm. or, you know, It's just not healthy, because then you start looking for things. Remember, I feel like when you're married, you're supposed to be learning this together. You're supposed to be learning different things, you know, together, because that's how God intended it. But when you already experience something and the other person doesn't, and they don't perform up to your liking, you start to compare them. Well, you know, you feel dissatisfied. This isn't enough. Or, you know, I don't know how I'm trying to say it, but...
No. You're saying it perfectly, because I've spoken to a lot of married people, both the male and the female, and they're, man, my wife is not able to do this. Or, man, my husband is not doing this. And it's just like, you know, we would not say they're not meeting our standards if we weren't playing this game prior to marriage. Right. You know what right. I mean? So God is saying it not to be a hater. Like, God knows what's best for us. And he knows, yeah, you start jumping from man to man or woman to woman, and now you get to someone who is saving themselves, and they're not doing what the last person did. Now, all of a sudden, they are the problem, or they're not meeting my needs. And, you know, a lot of people, let's just put it out there, you know, they struggle with masturbation. There are a lot of people, I'll speak on women because I've seen that type of statistic before. I don't know how it is with men, but they'll use certain objects for their self-pleasure.
Right.
And they've used it so much that they went from their hands to other objects to years and years of abusing themselves, that now when they finally got married, their husband could do nothing for them.
Right.
And I'm sure it's like that for some men who did the same thing to themselves. So it's not just the women, but it's the issue that now you're comparing yourself because you were so determined to entertain something before its season. That's what the Bible mentions, don't awaken love before its time. And I think it's a lot of things you don't need to awake before its time. You mm-hmm. should not play certain games. Man, I really wish I could think of this quote by my friend Jerry Flowers, man. He preaches some great messages, and he's somebody we're going to have on a podcast in the future. But he was saying sex was created, it was something for you to experience in marriage, or something for you to, it's meant to be a discovery, mm-hmm. not an exhibit.
Right.
Not, okay, I like it when they do this. I like it when you do. No, the goal is you get married and you find out what your spouse likes and you explore that. You continue right. doing more. You learn their body, rather than, okay, well, she don't do it how Susie did it, and he right. ain't doing it how Johnny did it, and you know what I mean? And it's like, now your spouse is struggling, you know, because you were determined that, okay, let me just try it before we get married, and you didn't enjoy it, so you said, all right, I'm going to leave and find somewhere, well, I can't enjoy, and you jump from person to person, and it doesn't help you get ready for marriage. Right. Like, I know everyone knows these verses, but I have to read them anyways. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. I'm reading, I believe it's the ESV. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And I think it's so important for us to understand that people say, oh, I'm going to the house of God, you know, when they're talking about church, or, you know what I mean? Oh, this is God's house. No, technically, that's a building that we worship God in. Your body is what God determined to mm-hmm. reside in. So if you say you have the Holy Spirit, or you say I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, or you, however you want to phrase it, if you believe God is within you, then how I use my body determines my worship. How mm-hmm. I use my body determines how I really view my walk with Him. You know, so while you may really just want to know if you'll enjoy the experience, I get that, but it's a dangerous game to play, because a holy God cannot dwell in an unholy temple. You know, so we have to understand that certain things will grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, and I honestly believe sex clouds someone's judgment, you know?
Absolutely. No, I agree. And that goes back into what we were saying earlier about, you know, you being married and you've already had sex before and maybe your partner hasn't. And so it clouds your judgment because now you think that person isn't performing up to what you think they should be performing. Well, when at the end of the day, marriage, and I feel also sex, is not just about you. It's about pleasing the other person. So now you're worried about how you feel and how this person isn't performing up to your liking. So yeah, it definitely clouds your judgment.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I wasn't even thinking of it along those lines. What I was thinking was how people, they'll be in a committed relationship with someone that they don't love, but the sex is good. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the way I was intending it. So they'll stay.
Or because they think they love that person.
They think they love the person. Because if you could get me to my orgasm and I feel like I'm on a high, then clearly, you know, clearly, oh, you know, do you get that sexual attention released and those endorphins and now the oxytocin, like how when women give birth and things like that, all these hormones are going on and on mm-hmm. and you are diehard going crazy over this person. You're writing your name with his last name on the end. You're just so happy, when in reality that if you remove sex from the relationship, you'd realize it was no point to it.
And the sad part of that is that sometimes it's too late. People realize that too late.
Yeah.
You start having sex before a relationship. You think you're in love with this person and you marry them. And then you realize you guys were never compatible to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like our neighbors that scream every single night when we're trying to go to sleep. Hey, man,
they
I need a
house.
They're
always fighting. They're always fighting.
I'm kidding. God bless them. I don't know what they're going through. I won't tease them. God forgive me. But I really think that that's something that we have to be careful of, because when you're rushing sex, that's doing what culture is doing. Culture right. is telling us that, you know, you need to go find someone and have sex and just experience it. But we're hearing that type of advice from people that are broken, people that are empty, people right. that are hoping their new boyfriend or hoping that new girlfriend can satisfy their needs right. and hoping that the bottle or the drugs can clear their mind for a night. So those people that are empty, that don't have the Spirit of God like we do, are giving us advice. That is a dangerous game to play when someone mm-hmm. who is lost is leading you. You right. cannot follow what culture is doing, you know, because a lot of those times it's great sex in bad relationships. It's great sex and abusive relationships. It's great sex and it's lukewarm, or it's unequally yoked, and it's all of those things. So my thing is, don't just go by, oh, the sex is good. Oh, that's what I need. Because who defines good? Right. Only God can tell you what is good. And if it is leading you into sin, it doesn't matter how it makes us feel. Right. So the fornication could have gave you 10 orgasms, sis. It does not matter. God didn't view it as good. Or bro, God could see you and you're doing your thing with your girl and you're looking like, man, she do it better than everybody else on the block. Yeah, but God doesn't view that as good.
Right.
It's still a sin, you know. So I already know people tune out once they hear me talking about sin, you know what I mean? But it is what it is. Like, we have to understand that just because it feels good doesn't mean it's good in the eyes of God. So a lot of these things that feel great, we have to be careful, because the sex will literally cloud our judgment. You know, so don't go by how they make you feel, but do it God's way. Because only when we do it God's way is it no longer going to be harmful or distracting from my walk with God. Because let me tell you, sex is way better when you don't have to repent after.
Right.
I thank God for being married. But I'm just saying, like, when you're out in sin and, you know, you get caught up in the moment, and now it's just like, man, God, I probably shouldn't have gone here. No. God, I probably shouldn't have opened that text. Okay, now, God, I probably shouldn't have responded back. God, Okay, well, God, I'm driving in the car. I'm driving in the car, but God, you know, just be there. Be there, Holy Spirit. Be in the middle. You know, let us, we're just going to pray. And okay, God, well, my shirt is off, you know, but, you know, we're just reading the Bible anyhow, you know. And then it goes on and on and right. on till you get to a point where you can't return. Well, you can return, you know, get your sins washed away, obviously, but you can't return physically from something you just there. Did. And now... I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, that's why the Bible says flee the very appearance of
exactly.
sin. So, I mean...
Yeah, because then you're left with the guilt. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying none of you will ever receive forgiveness or mercy from God if you fell into sin. If God is able to forgive me, he's able to forgive you. But my issue is, why do it that way where it causes so much regret? Right. You know, like where you're getting so many memories that God never intended for you to have. You know what I mean? So we should avoid those things because... Then you end up with, you know, struggling with, what do they call it? I can't think of the word right now, but I'm soul ties and soul things ties, like that. Right. And you left with things like depression. And then for those of you depressed, then that's when you have to turn to us. And we're going to tell you guys about BetterHelp. Because BetterHelp is a resource that I'm telling you guys about because Christians don't prioritize their mental health. BetterHelp is there to assess you and match you with your own professional therapist. You'll be able to connect in a safe and private online environment. Your counselor can be contacted at any time. Also, you can set up phone calls, video calls, however you choose to contact them. So if you're facing depression, stress, anxiety, anger, or any form of trauma or issues that, you know, are unresolved in your life, BetterHelp is there to assist you. In fact, there are so many people using BetterHelp that they've been recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. If you're feeling burdened down, I want you to enjoy a more blessed and stress-free life. As one of our listeners, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/godly. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/godly.
And our third point is that sex will make them love you.
Big sis, lie.
Bro, no, it won't. First of all, if they love you because of sex, then that's not unconditional love. They love sex. They don't love you. Because and that's another thing, like Tavares said, sex, it can get so messy when you get there, you know, playing that game and having sex, because it definitely plays with your mind and it blurs things. It blurs your vision. And if they believe they love you because of sex, then that's going to be a problem, because what happens when the sex is gone? What happens when, you know, what if they didn't enjoy it? Or what if they find, you know, you guys start, I guess, not arguing, but you guys start going through things. And I mean, life happens. Now you got to deal with real life. It's not just about sex. You can't just have sex all day. You actually have to live with each other. You actually have to, you know, so sex is not going to make them love you. There is a verse that says, but he refused to listen to her. And because he was stronger than she was, he disgraced her by raping her. So Amnon hated Tamar with such intensity that the hatred he hated her with was greater than the love he had loved her with. Get out of here, he said. And that's 2 Samuel 3:14-15.
13, chapter 13, verses 14-15. But I wrote down that verse for us to talk about because I mentioned Amnon in previous episodes multiple times. But the issue with that situation was Amnon was so in love with her that it made him sick to his stomach how much he wanted to be with her. Now, I can't remember his friend's name, but the Bible mentions that Amnon had a friend that convinced him to go in and sleep with his sister. Mm-hmm. So he made up a fake story, pretending to be sick. And then, you know, when she was nearby, then he forced himself on her. He raped her. And this is the same woman the very beginning of the chapter said he was so in love with that it made him sick to his stomach how much he loved her. And now after he got sex, get out of here, he said. Get away from me. He doesn't want anything to do with her. So he got what he wanted and then he was done. You know, so I really want us to understand that is still common, whether it's rape or not. That is very common for men and for women to do that. They got sex and it's just like, okay, well, my needs were met. This relationship no longer serves me. That is a very sad thing, because I've seen a lot of people, they turn away from God to entertain certain relationships. And then if the relationship didn't go well, now they're feeling lost because they have the shame and all those things. And it's not like they can't turn to God. But it's kind of hard when you know God didn't want you with them, then you made some mistakes, and it's so easy to condemn yourself. Many of you may have become maybe condemning yourself because of something you did, and you know God didn't want you in it. But that's why I'm letting you guys know, before you get to that place where you're tempted to give something that you shouldn't be giving right now. You know, you're tempted to do something you shouldn't be doing right now. Don't think sex will make them love you. Right. Sex will make no one love you. Even if you're married, I believe that sex is powerful. I believe that sex unites. But when you're trying to become one with someone that isn't your spouse, then you're putting your emotions, your spirit, your mind, and all of your body at risk of being affected by things that may not last. You know, so we have to understand that you may give them your body. You may give them what they're asking for because they keep telling you, oh, if you love me, you'll do this. If you love, come on, man, it's just this one time. That does not mean they'll love you after.
Right.
You know, so don't think as though you can do something and then get love in return. Right. It never works that way.
No, I think that if they truly love you, and if they are living a life that is, you know, for Christ, then if they truly love you, they will wait. And, you know, they won't, you know, if you love me, then you will do this. If you love me, you will do that. And I feel as though sometimes it's not just that the person or, you know, someone gets what they want. And so they're just like, okay, well, I've been there. I've done that. I move on to the next. Sometimes they realize that it wasn't as satisfying as they thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what sin looks like. You see something you want and you go after it thinking this is going to fulfill that gap or that hole, or it's going to satisfy that. And then when you get it, you realize it wasn't what you expected. And nobody wants to be, you know, that person that's not satisfying to someone else. Nobody wants to be in you know, in that shoe. You should know your worth to the point where you want somebody to love you for you and not for, you know, what you can do for them.
Oh, babe, you were preaching, so I wasn't about to cut you off. My bad. another thing I want to mention that I believe that we get wrong in the church. I believe even some married people have gone to it because I was tempted to it, and I've heard other married people do it. But we believe that pornography is a good teacher. We believe that, okay, if I watch it, I'm not watching it for pleasure. I'm just watching it so I know what to do with my spouse. You know, I'm just watching it to get tips, you know, things like that. But porn is such a dangerous thing to get yourself into because it will quickly entangle your mind. David says something like this, and obviously he may not have been talking about sexual sin, but I believe it still relates. In Psalms 101 and verse 3, he says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It will not cleave to me. So we see that David is declaring that he's not going to set any wicked thing before his eyes. You know, he was determined to put evil things away from in front of him. But what we have to understand is David is not saying, I will not see anything that's wicked. He said, I will not set anything that's wicked before mm-hmm. my eyes. Because so many of you, you're thinking, oh man, I just saw something. God forgive me. No. It wasn't that you saw something that made you sin. It's what you chose to stare at. It's right. What you chose to focus in on. It's not when, man, that movie caught us off guard with some scene that was just way out of left field, that was just inappropriate. No, it's when that scene turned you on.
It's entertaining.
That sin, that thing that's happening is when you're entertaining it. And pornography is such a sinful thing. It's such a harmful thing. There are people that are unsaved. They don't care nothing about God. They don't care nothing about Jesus. And they know and they report how dangerous pornography has been in their lives, in their marriage, in their childhood. There's so many people. So it's not a matter of just a Christian perspective in regards to pornography, but it's dangerous because a lot of times it's linked to child trafficking and human trafficking because a lot of these people are drugged, you know, in order to do some of these things. A lot of these people are doing some of these insane tricks because they've had to do it on 47 men before that video was done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Porn is such an inappropriate and ungodly thing, and it promises to satisfy you, but it never does. You have to watch it in private. Why? Because there's something dirty about it, something inappropriate about it. So while you're trying to learn, you know, you're trying to get tips, I'm not saying the Holy Ghost is going to teach you how to have sex, but the Bible mentions that the Holy Ghost is able to teach us all things. God is able to guide you
right
where you need to go.
And your spouse is able to teach you.
Exactly.
That's the point of marriage. You're supposed to learn together. You don't need nobody else to teach you nothing. So
Listen, man, I don't care what I watched on the TV show. If Safa says we are not doing this, then it does not matter what the TV show is doing. That means we are not doing this. The goal of sex is not, and I think a lot of people don't understand this, but I believe the goal of sex is to always satisfy the spouse. Right. Or satisfy, yeah, the next person. It's never, oh, what I want, because marriage should be about serving one another. Right. And I believe in all aspects. But a lot of times we go to porn because it's a matter of how do I serve me? Mm-hmm. How do I serve my flesh? How do I serve my desires? Even though they aren't healthy, I know I want to get it served. You know what I mean? So I think that we have to understand that if God is the one who designed sex, we cannot allow the world to tell us how it should be performed. We don't need, you know, these TV shows to say, okay, well, you do it like this, then it happens this way. Or because these things set a lot of unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. A lot of I'm not going to dive too much into that because porn is just a dangerous game. You know, if you'd like to hear more on that subject, we dove into great detail on podcast episodes 30 and 31 with some testimonies, a lot of women mentioning how they struggled as well. Right. You know, so I'll leave you guys to check that out when you get the chance.
Another misconception is that if you wait until marriage, you're the only one not having sex and you're missing out. I can attest to that. I feel as though before I got married, especially growing up in high school and you know early college stages, people made me feel like I was the only one waiting. And that's a misconception, because first of all, there are other people out there, believe it or not. You know, when people came up to me and they were like, "Wow, you're the only virgin I know," I'm like, "That is sad," because I don't know where are you hanging.
Who are your friends?
Who, please? Because and that's a misconception for sure, because there are other people waiting. There are other people who and I'm not saying if you didn't wait till marriage, you don't love God. Don't you know, you had sex, you're waiting till marriage now, you know, things happen. But you know, people who are waiting till marriage and you have never had sex, there are people out there that are doing that still. It's not a lost, you know, these people are not, you know, lost people. They're still out there, and it's definitely a misconception.
So, but let me ask you this, was it weird knowing, because you don't know what your friends are doing, you do know when some people are, you mm-hmm. know, but was it ever weird for you, you knowing like, man, I'm still waiting, and it seems as though many of your friends were probably turning up, or were you around people that just weren't, so it was no big deal?
I think it was weird in the sense that this misconception that I was the only one waiting, I didn't have that misconception growing up. I thought everybody was we were all waiting together.
Someone was oblivious.
I was gullible, and I was just, I don't know, I was just very naive. So I thought that we were all waiting. Everybody in church, we never had sex before, we were waiting until marriage. The day that I found out that wasn't the case, it broke my heart. And I was like, you know, like I was really thinking that, you know, there's very few of us out here. You know, because a lot of people started to be, as we got older and, you know, into, you know, college years and teenage years, they just, you know, strayed away from, you know, from Christ, and they got lost and things like that. Was it weird to know that, you know, I was one of the only, that was your question? Mm-hmm. Was it weird that I was one of the only people? I
that it may have felt that way.
That it might have felt that way? No, not necessarily. I feel as though I had a fear of God unlike no other. And by that, I mean, I grew up in a church that if I walked in there and I even kissed a boy, like that was it. Somebody would come up to me and they would be able to reveal to me that I kissed a boy and that I should lose this boyfriend. And that alone was fear enough to say, I'm not going there. I'm not going there with anybody. And that's one line I could never cross. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I don't think it was weird, because I felt as though, I don't know, I just felt different. You know, I felt as though I couldn't cross that boundary with people.
Yeah, I feel like some of y'all probably have no idea what she's saying, but if you got them church mothers in your church.
Exactly.
Listen, man, I remember one of my boys, we had a prayer meeting, and it seems as though anytime we sin, God would reveal it to this lady. And I was so mm-hmm. upset, because it's just like, God, let me just sin this one time and repent before she finds out. Mm-hmm. And then my boy never went back to the prayer meeting after prom, because he knew once he went to prom, he already knew his business was exposed, and he literally never went back. And I was just like, this is absolute nonsense, man. But it was crazy.
Your church was different back then.
Very, very, very. Lord, take us back. Mm-hmm. But I remember one time we went to another church, and we were practicing. We were about to do like a huge joint choir And then one of my boys just said to me in the front row, hopefully no one heard, but in the front row around many people, he was just like, man, I'm the only virgin in the church. And then I was like, was that even necessary? Because for one, I was a virgin too, but it was just the fact that, and he knew, man, everybody out here just doing whatever they want, you know, and then, you know, and it wasn't a matter of him making, you know, like talking down on anybody. He was legit dying laughing, like, he's a troll. I know many of you think I'm a troll. He's beyond me, like times 10. You know what I mean? But it was just the fact that it's so weird knowing, you know, that people are in church and people are like, God, I'm going to trust you in every avenue. But my relationships, leave me alone. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to go turn up. I'm going to go, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I feel like that's such a dangerous thing. But I don't want you to feel as though you're the only one waiting, because this verse, 2 Timothy 2:22 says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. So this verse tells us that, you know, run away from youthful lust. Flee youthful lust is what the King James will say. But it tells us that we should enjoy the companionship, you know, and then stay in the company of those who are doing the same exact
right.
thing. So there are people seeking God with a pure heart. And I believe it was the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament who was like, God, kill me, man. I'm the only one here. And God is like, no, I have hundreds more that never bowed to Baal. You know what I mean? So it's so easy for us to be on the right track and feel discouraged when, you know, when things get a little, you know, that season does seem trying. You know what I mean? Like, God, am I the only one trusting you out here? Like, if that's the case, then I'm done. Like, I don't see the point in me being here. You know, it's so easy to take that approach. But we have to understand that in reality, you're not missing out on anything.
You're
don't
not.
Feel as though everyone else is having fun and, but when she did it or when he did it, they didn't get caught. Why would I get caught? Don't have that approach.
You see, that's the thing. That's another, you asked me if I felt weird. No, I didn't, because I always felt that if I were to have sex before marriage, I'd be the one to get pregnant. Yes, and it would be with twins or triplets even. I was terrified. That's how much,
man.
and that kept me away from sin, believe it or not. That kept me away from going that far. And I think that, you know, it might seem like that's a bit like severe, but honestly, if that's what keeps you, that's what keeps you. And I don't feel like, you know, I've missed out on anything being married now and, you know, not having sex before marriage, which is something I don't talk about often, which I think should be talked about more, you know, that people see that there were other people or there are other young women and other young men waiting on the Lord until marriage. That is something. And I was ashamed to say that, you know, that I waited, because mm-hmm. people picked on me about it, especially in school. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way at all. And I'd never felt like I missed out on anything. At all. I feel as though now I don't have any baggage, or there's no expectation in my mind of, oh, Tavares isn't fulfilling this because this is what I experienced before and this is how it should be. No, I'm learning with him, and that is how marriage is supposed to be. That is what God intended marriage to be.
Man, babe, you can't just be preaching like that, like, because I didn't even have the offering bucket ready. In reality, man, I know the enemy wants you guys to feel like you're missing out. But in reality, all you're missing out on is you're avoiding STDs. You're
exactly.
avoiding emotional baggage.
You are.
You're avoiding dating someone who literally was going to dump you 2 weeks after y'all had sex. You're avoiding things that you didn't even need to be a part of. You know what I mean? And I think it's important to understand that it's not necessarily, oh, I'm avoiding sin. No, but understand that you're pursuing righteousness.
Right.
And I know Safa mentioned being afraid, you know, that she get exposed. But at the same time, when you have the right mindset, like, it doesn't even matter. Like, the temptation is there. No one
right.
is saying you're not tempted to do stuff. But the issue is, I'm focused on what, you know, what God has for me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Focus, like, on pleasing him in every aspect of your life.
Exactly. Paul said, you know what I mean? He forgets all these things and he's pressing towards the mark. And ultimately, that's what we want you all to press towards, you know, because a lot of you guys are thinking about sex and thinking about marriage and thinking about all these things. And it's so easy to fall into sin when that's all you're thinking about.
Right.
But when you're focused on God, you have little time to pay attention to things that don't matter or things that aren't building you up. You know, so I pray that these things can definitely start a conversation in your youth group
mm-hmm.
with your brothers, sisters, with your siblings, with a friend, whatever. if there are some more, I would love if you guys shoot us DMs, you know, let us know. So maybe we could follow up with this with another conversation. But for those that listen to the end, man, we appreciate you guys. Be sure to subscribe. Share this with a friend. If you have one friend in your life, share this with them. If you have a million,
share this with them.
At least one. Just one. But we appreciate you guys. If you're on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave a review. People started leaving mean reviews again, but I don't take it to heart because I'm thankful that you wasted your time to leave a mean review. Listen, which means you are listening.
As long as we reach one person, as long as something we said struck your heart for you to, be stronger in your walk with God, that's all we care about. Thank you guys for leaving comments and supporting us and our ministry.
Yeah, man. And Patreon. We hope that, a lot of people have been showing love on Patreon. We had our first Bible study officially launched last week, and this week we'll be going into part two in Christian disciplines. If you would like a foundation that's more than just talking about relationships, because we're trying to also build disciples, join us on Patreon, be a part of the family. Yeah, and check out our YouTube videos. I started the sermon series Secure, where we're talking about insecurities and overcoming insecurities through the Word of God. So if you're not able to donate, that's fine. If you're not able to check out YouTube because your phone screen broke, I don't know, whatever, any type of excuse, we still appreciate your prayers.
Yes,
continue praying for us that we continue to be a blessing to so many. And we appreciate you guys, and we'll see you next Thursday.
Peace.